Good morning. It's wonderful to see you this morning. So glad that we can be together. And hope that you've brought your Bibles and we can turn together to the Word of God and appreciate so much the songs that we've sang and the prayers that have been offered as well and are partaking of the Lord's table this morning. Just appreciated that so very much. And so glad that you're here. Glad that we have company with us. We are so glad to have so much company the other evening. Want to thank those that came and participated and enjoyed our time together. We just immensely enjoyed it. And hope that you'll come back anytime, as we said. And we, as well, this morning, remember, realize that at the end of the week, the Foxes are going to be moving. We hate to see that. And appreciate Jason leading the singing this morning. I think he was particularly asked to do that, but he's done a great job, and appreciate the songs that he's led this morning and the singing that we've done together as we praise God. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about what you would expect, I suppose. I want to talk to you about some things that my mother taught me to start with. My mother taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. My mother taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me intuition. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My mother taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about the wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. My mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see. We want to talk a little bit this morning about mothers. One, mothers that are wonderfully made, if you will. It was in 1914, President at that time was Woodrow Wilson, who officially proclaimed the second Sunday in May to be Mother's Day. And since that time, it's become a very popular holiday. It's become a card-selling holiday, no doubt, but it's become as well for flowers and so many other things. And there is said that there'd probably be, oh, some 20 million plus folks that will send a card to their mother, or call their mother today. I have fulfilled that this morning, and called my mother this morning. I hope that you'll get that opportunity if you have that availability yourself. When we look in the scriptures, we certainly see some important things about mothers. We see that Solomon, the wise man, as he talked about there in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 1, talks about the fear of the Lord, and in verse 8 he says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." Solomon said, we need to pay attention to what our parents say. Pay attention to the words of your mother. Realize the value of a mother. Realize the wonder, if you will, of motherhood, and that mothers are wonderfully made. In Proverbs 31, of course, as he talks about there, that woman that is encompasses everything, it seems, and as ladies perhaps read that passage, I hope that they don't get discouraged, but it just simply is praising the aspects of a wife and a mother. And he says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." In Proverbs 31 there. Let's talk about a little bit, if you will, just some various aspects. And just starting from that aspect of looking and realizing how wonderful it is that motherhood exists. Do you realize, do you think about, do we comprehend and do we put our minds around the fact that she is a bearer of life that comes from God? You see, were it not for God's creation, were it not just simply, it's just not a matter of a creative thing that people make to happen, but it is a creation from God uniting a flesh and a spirit within a mother. in which that child is conceived, and therein becomes there that which will be a living soul, a living being. She's a co-worker with divinity, and she bears that which God alone can give. Can you imagine how, as you read passages like there in Luke chapter 1, how young Mary must have felt? Can you imagine her especially, no doubt, as she is told about the special child that was within her and that she would have within her? In Luke chapter 1, if you notice in that context, in verse 26, beginning, trying to think about how that Mary must have felt at that time. It says, now in the sixth month, this angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." You say, well, not every mother has the child of God within her. But every mother is the one who has had that which is conceived by God. That which is both body and spirit that is within her. And she bears within her as well, and is entrusted with molding and shaping then that precious soul throughout a life. That gives us the wondrousness of motherhood. That's the wonderful nature of it in and of itself, if you will. And who will give us certainly those things that are so important, but only God. Who will give all and not forget her child is no one but a mother so often. In Isaiah 49 and verse 15, Isaiah says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb?" And the answer is a resounding no. She can't do that. She won't do that if she's certainly concerned about that child at all. The wonder of motherhood is impressive and amazing and is expounded throughout the scriptures and extolled on. She has an exalted status. If you realize it or not, when you look throughout history, especially ancient history, women did not have a status that was given of much of anything other than another worker, another one that was perhaps no more than really the slave that it would be in the house. Both parents in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, are said to be honored, to honor your father and your mother. And that was something for that day. That was something for the children of Israel to come and to recognize that as they came out of Egypt, that there was an honor to be bestowed upon this lady of the house. Her status is higher than any other legal system. And you go on and read in the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3, it says, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father." It's interesting there to me that it kind of turns it back around that it usually is stated. "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." So he puts the mother first there and says, you need to reverence her. You need to lift her up. You need to recognize who she is and to give her some honor. And the honor that she had within that Old Testament system, even within itself, was higher than any other legal system of the day. And she was to be listened to. There we noticed in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, what did the wise man say? He said that we need to listen to our mothers. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not," do not forsake, "your mother's teaching." Pay attention to what she's saying. It's hard to do when you're young. It's hard to think, well, mom doesn't know anything. She's gotten old and she doesn't know what's going on. But she knows so much more than we may think. She remembers and realizes. And even in the humor of the things that we said a moment ago, boy, there's a lot of truth in some of those things, isn't it? One of these days you'll know. One of these days you'll understand. And one of these days you may realize you are just acting just like somebody else. But whatever the case, mom knows, and her status is to be exalted. It is to be as respected for her position. There's a gruesome warning that's given for disobedience in Proverbs, the 30th chapter. and in verse 17. It talks about the fact that we need to be careful and to be watching out for the idea of being faithful and obedient, if you will. And in verse 17 of Proverbs 30, the wise man says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." How about that, kids? Would you like that? I'll confess at this moment, we have threatened our children with that a time or two. Or at least prayed for that, maybe. No. But boy, what a terrible thing. Can you imagine? But what is the purpose of that? What is the significance of that significant illustration? It is to show how important it is to show respect and honor for both a father and a mother. She's to be respected of who she is and where she's at in the home. And obedience is that, which the wise man understood needed to be taught. If you back up in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 13 and in verse 24, the wise man realized and knew very well that obedience was something that needed to be learned. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth, In Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 24. There we go. "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." We know that the father often disciplines, but so does mom. So does the mother. And she, yet with that discipline, it is to bring about obedience. It needs to be taught. Reverence, it needs to be learned for a mother to be recognized who she is and to realize that there really should be. And she is to be one, it is to be respected. She is to be one that is to be found within her and around her some encouragement and comfort that is there. Go back to your Old Testament for just a moment and look at the book of Isaiah. I understand very well that Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 66, is talking about Israel, talking about Jerusalem. But in Isaiah chapter 66, as he comes towards the end of the chapter there, towards the end of the book, he's been talking about the Jerusalem and how the safety that would be within it. But notice how he uses, or what he uses, or who he uses for an analogy for that in Isaiah 66 and in verses 12 and 13. He says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river." He's talking about Jerusalem, yes, in specific. But he says, "Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, and she shall be, and you shall carry on her hip, and bounced upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." What a beautiful picture. We got the chance a little bit last night to be cultured, if you will. Went to the park and listened to the symphony and so forth. And it was just great to see and to listen, to look around and look at all the children and look at moms playing with the kids and bouncing some of them on their knee and carrying them through the crowd on their hip. And it made me think of that passage. It made me think of this lesson as I was thinking about it even at that time. She has a status that is to be exalted and should be one that is to be respected. As well, we see her impeccable character. The character of a mother that it seeks to do what's right first and foremost for God and to seek to serve the Lord. If you have a mother of that nature and of that character, don't do anything except be thankful. Be thankful for a mother like that. Be thankful for a mother that wants to teach you about the good things that are right in the sight of God first and foremost. Be thankful for a mother that wants to tell you what's right and wrong in what God has to say. Be thankful for a mother that quotes Scripture from time to time. Be thankful for a mother that tells you what God sees is right and what is wrong. You see, as you look back through the history of Israel and through Judah particularly, you notice that Israel, as they had all of their kings and so forth, they had some that were good kings and some that were bad kings. But when you get to the nation of Judah, Judah started with bad kings and went downhill from there. But it's interesting to notice how some of that came about. If you look back to the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles particularly, you'll notice that there were 7 of Judah's kings that did good, and 8, it says, did evil. Judah's kings. Some of them were good and some of them were bad. Israel's all just went down the hill all the way. But decades before all of these things, you notice that there was a woman by the name of Jezebel. You ever heard her name? And a daughter, Athaliah. And she was a particular type of woman. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22, gives you a picture, if you will. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22, and beginning in verse 1, and it says, the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his place, for the band of men came with the Arabians to the camp and killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother and his counselor, in doing wickedly. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, the house of Ahab had done, for after the death of his father, they were counselors to his undoing. You see what happened? He had evil, wicked counselors. Unfortunately, it was a mother. It would have been a grandmother that would have counseled him and gave him the counsel to do things that were completely against God. And it says it was to his undoing is what it was. It made him come apart, and really the kingdom, it suffered as well. In chapter 24 of that same book there, in verse 7, it says, For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, that broken into the house of God, and also used all of the dedicated things of the house of the Lord for the Baals. They didn't care anything about the one true and living God. If you have a mother, young people, older people, if you've had a mother that loves God and seeks to serve the Lord, be thankful. Be thankful for a mother that has such a character, that desires and has such a worth to her. Some have tried to come along and have tried to calculate the worth or the value of a mother in in physical terms, if you will, in terms of monetary terms. They've said a few years ago, this is several years ago, about 10 years ago, that the worth of a mother is about $635,724. And they compute it like this. They talked about raising children, cooking meals, keeping the house, caring for pets, and all of these other things. And they broke it down into 17 key occupations that mom takes care of so many times. And Edelman Financial Services put it down like this. Animal caretaker, this is for the year, by the way, $22,256. Chef, $25,110. Computer systems analyst, $60,860. Financial manager, $70,366. Food and beverage service worker, $14,710. General office clerk, $24,128. Registered nurse, $45,614. Management analyst, $52,457. Child care worker, $18,179. Housekeeper, $15,410. Psychologist, $56,576. Bus driver, $26,832. Elementary school teacher, $66,930. Dietitian and nutritionalist, $38,313. Social worker, $31,387. Recreational worker, $30,576. For a grand total of $641,900 in their thing. You say, well, some of those numbers don't sound right to me, but that's a few years ago. But what's it say? Say moms are worth something. Worth a lot if you put it down in monetary terms, but what a value she has if she serves the Lord. What a tremendous value. Think of her undying love. A mother will so often and so many times and for the most part will love and care for a child no matter what. Will care for that child forever, for all of her days. Think about Mary once again, if you will, for just a moment. Go back to Luke and Luke chapter 2 and think about that. You realize that there is you an occasion that I've always thought, well, it just seemed a little strange to me. I mean, it was, as even as I looked at the audience last night, there was just a whole lot of people around, and at one point I saw a couple of little kids, little girls, running through the audience, and here came mom and dad, follow along behind, trying to catch up with them as they were going through the audience to catch up with the children. But here you see Jesus and his parents have gone to Jerusalem, and they're returning. And as they're going back, it's discovered that he's not with them. He's not with the cousins, if you will. He's not hanging out with all the rest of the family. He's not along with. And it is his mother that figures it out, it seems. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, it says, "And when he became 12, he went up there according to the custom of the feast, and they were returning. As they were returning after spending a full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. And his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. And they began looking for him, along with the relatives and acquaintances, and they did not find him, and they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And it came about that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him," can you imagine the look on her face when she finally, and the relief in her voice, when realization, did she realize in her heart, or she realized where he was, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." His mother was so anxious. No doubt she was worried to death, as we might say. If you've got a mother that cares and is concerned, it loves, pay attention to those things. She's concerned about the whereabouts of her children. She's concerned about showing those things that are needed. She shows, the mother of Jesus is the one that shows respect for him. Then later on in the different times, when you see even the beginning of his miracles, she brings those to him. And even she stands at the foot of his cross. It's just an impressive thing of her undying love that she has. But as well, it's impressive to see that the husband or husbands are directed to give love to that mother, that wife. In Titus chapter 2 and in verse 4, and it just in one verse within itself, both for husbands and for children as well, Paul tells Titus that he needs to be telling those as well and teaching that they may encourage the young women, the older women, to encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Husbands, to love those husbands and to love their children. And you say, well, why does he tell them to tell the older women to tell the younger women that? Because it's not something that if they will love them, it's not a burdensome charge. But it's ones that who are loving those who they care so much for and they're giving so much care to. And what an honor there is for her as a result of that. And then there's so many other things we could say, but think about that there is within Scripture there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3. What that really in essence is a command with promise. Have you realized that? If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, you say, oh, we've heard that passage over and over again. I knew you'd get there sooner or later, even yet this morning. But in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 2, he says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's been a command with a promise for a long time for people of God. It was a command with a promise, if you will, for the people of God in the Old Testament. And what you see is that disobedience indicates an undisciplined life and results in dissipation and wickedness. It results going in completely the wrong direction. But carefully paying attention to a mother that's paying attention to God. It's kind of like Paul saying to the Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Let's look for mothers and look to mothers that are of that type of character. I hope that we can give a little bit of honor to mothers. I was impressed with some students that came out of a class, impressed with the teachers, probably no doubt that's done that. They came out with some flowers for mothers this morning and appreciate that so very much. But may we give them a little bit of the honor for those that are God-fearing and they're seeking to serve the Lord. And may those mothers this morning, this day at least, spend a little bit of time and just recognizing what an awesome precious task that they have within them and around them as they raise children to seek to serve the Lord. Floyd Wood, a man, wrote a poem entitled Mother's Arm. Mother's arm, blowers of noses and washers of ears, smoothers of bumps and spots and wipers of tears, bathers of babies and umpires of spats, finders of boots and mittens and hats, helpers with lessons and makers of beds, shakers of dustcloths and combers of heads, buttons so honors and winders of clocks, menders of dresses and darners of socks, tellers of stories and readers of books, judges and juries of conduct and looks, doctors of headaches, heartaches, hearers of prayers, generals directing all family affairs, tenders of home fires and burning of men. Oh, for the gift of an adequate pen. May God bless our mothers this morning, and may God bless you as you seek to serve the Lord. If you're here this morning, you have that desire to serve the Lord. We're looking for a day that is coming, and we're realizing that that day may come very much quicker than we may expect. And to realize that we have just but a short time here. If you don't realize, and I'm going to sound old now for just a moment, if you don't realize how quickly the time really goes as parents, until all of a sudden, serve.